anywhere between 1/4 of and 10 of, depending on which clock or watch you're looking at. The first item, before I do that, we have in attendance, we have Alderman Sangiolo from Ward 4, out of practice, Alderman Merrill from Ward 1, Alderman Hesmahan from Ward 3, Alderman Brando from Ward 5, Alderman Baker from Ward 7, myself, Marcia Johnson from Ward 2, and chair of the committee, and we have Karen Dean, our illustrious committee clerk, and we have some other school folks. The first item, docket item 17709, is honor the mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend from E-rate receipts.
Been a long day.
Receipts. Actually, in German, when they do it in, you know, German speaking English, they call it receipts. The sum of $201,497.15 for the purpose of implementing the school department wireless technology plan for Newton South, as well as district-wide management. Are we ready, lady?
Yes. So I'm just going to follow up with, I actually came here, I think it was 2 years ago, I was just trying to wrap it up, to ask for the elementary school wireless. And in that year, we actually did all our 15 elementary schools. We've done our 4 middle schools. So now we're ready to address our high schools for managed wireless. South, actually, as you know, it was 6 years ago was the building project, 6 or 7, Sandy was working for me. And they didn't, at that time, put in wireless. Don't know, I think it wasn't quite mature enough to do that. So we have been fortunate enough to buy new teacher laptops for replaced actually what the teachers had 6 years ago. Those 7-year-old laptops that are completely ready for wireless, but we have no wireless in that campus. So that's what we're asking for, to do that campus and get ready for, we'll be doing the same kind of technology with Newton North when they come on a year later, so that the whole, all 21 schools will be completely done. So we are ready, willing, and we like to do it in the summer because the kids aren't there and we don't like to get up on ladders and put the power over Ethan, the access points up. So that's why I'm here, and I'm ready to answer any questions you might have.
Yes. I'm just interested in what kind of wireless it's going to include.
802.11, I guess that's the most, the newest, the most robust standard.
G-Rid, yeah. Whatever the latest thing.
Yeah. And that's what we'll be doing at North as well. So we're really trying to tap both campuses the same.
So it'll be compatible. You can use, if you're a teacher from South, you can use your laptop.
Exactly.
Okay. Good.
Exactly.
I think that actually makes sense.
Yeah. And every year, of course, it improves. This is the latest improvements, more money, but it's just definitely the standard, because you don't want to buy old technology. 2 years, you'd be coming to me and saying, "What are you doing?"
No, that'll happen anyway. Alderman Brando.
Thank you. Do you have a breakdown on the cost?
Yeah, I can get. I do actually. I brought some of the costs because it seems like a lot of money. That's what I was saying too. But we buy these the Cisco. We've done all Cisco for the system. So for
the routers, you mean?
Well, for these are the access points, the powered access points, and for each one, it's $753, and we need 150 for that campus. So right there, you're at $113,000.
What do you mean by access points? The
they're managed access points.
These gadgets?
I don't think
that's a that's a router.
No, they're an access point. So what that actually does is, if you have your wireless laptop, right, let's say we bring 30 in a cart, right, it manages it so that if we need more bandwidth, it goes to maybe the access point in the next room and takes bandwidth from it. So that's why it's really important to have it managed. Most people are used to those little Apple devices, and they handle like 15. Yeah, the airports. So those are very expensive, but it's a part of the managed system so that we can actually see from the Ed Center what the load is, and if we need to, we balance it. So those are $113,000. Then we are going to buy power over Ethernet switches. Maybe that's what you were thinking of.
I'm sorry, what?
Power over Ethernet switches.
Okay.
And that just eliminates the electrical wiring and things that you might have to do, and that's $3,000. And the Cisco, we need management software to manage the whole thing, and that's around $25,000. And then we are going to buy an additional gigabyte speed ports and memory for the Newton South Core router, which is $20,000. Okay.
And then in there is vendor-installed network drops to locate the access point for proper coverage, so we don't have any dead spots. And we'll have some fiber and copper patch cables to connect all the equipment. So it ends up $200,000. And we were actually lucky. I don't know if you know the vendor E-Plus, but they came in and they did a complete survey for us before this was done. But luckily, since we have experience with 19 schools already, we don't have to pay for someone else to do the work. We do our own work at this point.
And just one other question. Is this going to be integrated into a citywide wireless system?
Well, for the whole system. For our whole school system.
So this is going to cover the whole school system.
Well, some of the management things that we're buying, the software and everything, will cover the whole school system. So we'll already we have the middle school and elementary. We'll cover the whole thing so we'll be able to watch
it. And it will replace the older technology that was installed 7 years ago?
Well, there was no wireless 7 years ago at South.
But it was hardwired.
Yes. And there still will be Ethernet drops.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, we're not going to take those out, but that is the problem because the teachers have to be at one spot where they plug in. And there never was actually enough drops there as well, so.
I'm sorry, I'm old enough to remember the Mimeo machines.
Okay. So I know.
Having it to be in one spot with the computer just.
Yeah, but I mean, the managed wireless is just, it's what they're doing everywhere. It's really, if you go into a university library, for example, you bring in your laptop, or actually probably public libraries too, and you can be anywhere. And so.
Yes, all of
you. Just one quick question on the. Sure. Does this change how the students access the wireless, or is this only for the administrators, or?
Well, no, as students bring in devices, and my guess is in the next year or two, we're going to be seeing many more netbooks because I think that's something we can more afford. That's what we're really piloting. Actually, we piloted at Brown. We're doing a big pilot, well, a full-year pilot next year at Bigelow with those because they're already into managed net wireless. Yes, it will work on any device. If you came in with your wireless device, it will work. Well, it's just not excluding the teachers, but that was really impetus not to wait till North got done. Because then the teachers were stuck in one place.
But there is a question for what operating system are you going to be using?
It actually won't matter what operating system. No.
Okay, because Google's coming out with a new operating system for their netbooks that they hope to get people to install and just want to make sure it's compatible.
Yeah, so this will work with Mac, PC?
Yeah. We're dual platform now as it is.
People come Alderman Freeman? We've been joined by Alderman Freeman from Ward 8 and Vice Chair of the Committee.
Thank you. I apologize. I did come in late, so maybe you already touched upon this. But will this literally cover the entire space within Newton South?
Yes.
So it's every classroom, every administrative office, athletic facilities, whatever? I mean, and I assume not outside or maybe in the courtyard? I mean,
we have found it pretty powerful. They will be able to go outside, but that's why we really have to have pretty sophisticated equipment because we really actually don't want people to drive by. I shouldn't say that, but we don't. Yeah, and so you have to. That's why you really need these controllers, so we can spot who's supposed to be on our network and who's not supposed to be on our network.
Secure network.
Yeah. So, I bet you could be
so
quite a
people.
Distance away and get it.
Okay.
If you have the right passwords.
Thank you.
That would be a good test.
Any other questions? Do I hear a motion?
So
Alderman.
No, you're the computer expert.
I was going to ask another question, but I'm not so
I don't know if you have it, but school committee person Jonathan Yeo is sitting in the back. I don't know if you saw him there. Hey. Did you want to say anything?
No.
You wired?
Shelly said that I am not wired. No, it's exciting to finish up the program, and I think Shelly's had a lot of experience doing this. This is the final step.
Good. Okay. There's a motion to approve. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor? It's Alderman Sangiolo, Merrill, Hess Mahan, Friedman, Johnson, Baker, and Brandel. Thank you. you're done.
Great.
Thank you.
I'll enjoy it. Go for a swim or something.
The gap pool's 61 degrees.
Oh, no.
Crystal Lake's not bad.
Karen, you want to get... docket item 30608, Alderman Baker, Danberg, Mansfield, and Parker, requesting discussion of how swimming at Crystal Lake might be lawfully and safely extended beyond mid-August.
Are you going to come up, Carol? Last time we got you to come up. Come on. It's your lake.
It's not my lake. My birthday's tomorrow.
Oh. Your birthday's tomorrow?
Cancers. We're all cancers.
Yes. Usually,
you're going to be 35, too.
Oh, yeah.
See what happened by scheduling this meeting on my birthday. We got 60 degrees, rain, underscore, tornado warning.
Warnings. Yep.
Just want to talk, don't ever do it again.
Yeah.
It's usually 82 degrees, sunny, beautiful.
Bomb.
Yeah. Well, so here. We're of a day. That, too. Not the first
to fall. Public
service. There you go.
Do you guys like coal?
I walked in with a colleague into work. She had heard on the news that since May something, the beginning of May, we had like 3 days of sunshine.
It's getting close to 40 days, 40 nights.
We had that back in, I think it was 1970, when I was in college. You were ready to take the arc.
Our dog's been eyeing another chocolate lab down the street. Now that you mention it.
Too much.
Okay. Is George coming?
He's coming.
Okay, do we want to wait?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He's in a little bit of a back and forth.
Okay.
I'll give you a few minutes.
I just Alderman Danberg is not here. Correct. Or Alderman Parker. So go ahead.
I'm in.
You're it.
So where are we?
I put together a little packet of what has happened in between from the time the letter went out. With some information that we've done, and also the procedures or actions being taken at this meeting of the committee.
Serious now, he's taking his jacket off.
Meeting of the committee earlier.
I like my signature.
Obviously, I understand you have received. You have received the commission minutes earlier, where the commission was given your letter, and we had the discussion. At that time, I asked the commission if I was their permission to go ahead and pursue trying to find lifeguards for the site. And I'll just walk through what you have in front of you. They agreed to that, and there is a sample letter in this packet of what went out to the various colleges and organizations where we were trying to ask them to post it. And I also called some of my local directors, Needham, Lexington, Wellesley, Weston, to ask them personally to post it just in case. There would be somebody available. And then there's a list in here of all the colleges that we sent it out to as well. We put a deadline on that.
Craigslist.
Right. There's
also put it in Craigslist.
We also talked with the Human Resource Department, and they suggested the Craigslist. So it also went out there, and there's a copy of the information, the last part of what went on the Craigslist itinerary, where we were trying to research or trying to search out more lifeguards. At this point, I believe we've received one response from the Craigslist. And Carol, you've talked to that individual.
I did.
The others I haven't, but then we're waiting till the 17th, which we felt
deadline is
a deadline which we felt would give us enough time to follow up on anyone that would be interested in playing, working for us. We also contacted the Y, the YMCA, to see what they had for lifeguards. And in talking with them, they had some lifeguards, but basically they were using them. And most of them had credentials for a pool, but not for a lake. So that's somewhat how
this right here. When you visit,
that's all the colleges that you sent to.
You sent this
yes.
Set. Okay.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
One,
right. So that we're still waiting for the 17th, and I'll be glad to report back at that time the numbers that we received. Also in the packet, there's the survey that we took of our own existing staff.
Mm-hmm.
And who would be available. Most of those are gone after the 23rd. we do have enough for the for gas pool. And then just a synopsis of what results we had from the YMCA for staffing. So,
is there any way to reach out to some older people, you know, semi-retired or whatever, who may have these
unemployed people
yeah, or whatever? Is there?
I posted it everywhere. Okay. It's been.
We posted it obviously at our own swim facilities as well.
MMA. I don't know if that's a possibility. The MMA. What's that? The Beacon.
Oh, the Beacon. Yeah.
Be glad to.
I mean, have you talked to Doris on that?
Sure. As I said, I had talked with Human Resources on
it. It's a monthly newsletter?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm afraid they only publish once.
Do they have a website with job opportunities?
They have a website. I don't know if they have a job. Yeah.
Do they have jobs? So anyway, talk to Doris. Sure. She may...
MMA?
MMA. Massachusetts Municipal
Association. We'd be glad to... do that. Obviously, I talked with Dolores earlier, and that's how we got the Craigslist suggestion.
Is it on our website?
Yes.
Yes.
I think
yes.
It's 423-7272, but I'm not sure. I'll double check.
617?
Notice you have flyers on the front desk. So
yep.
Yes.
Did you get any of those at all?
Nothing.
We haven't yet.
No.
No.
Yeah, library everywhere. I was at Special Olympics and I posted it myself at the Harvard, MIT, and BU pool.
Good.
I actually went in and talked to them. So. Mm-hmm.
So those are the endeavors that we're for the lifeguards that we're trying to do for this summer. The other part, as you can tell from the commission meeting, they had the discussion of swim at your own risk and voted not to go that direction, to stay the status quo. And also in this packet is just an idea of a basic cost that Carol has put together.
Yeah, very rough.
Very rough. That's just for the seasonal, for what it would approximately would have cost. And that's kind of the status quo where we are right now with what you were looking for.
Any questions or comments from any aldermen? Yes, go ahead. It's your birthday. You can speak.
Without being...
That's honest. Right. You can just speak here.
No, it's more later. But the one question was regarding the public safety record, the history of Crystal Lake. Was anybody able to pull up any recent history of incidents?
Yes, the police.
That went out last
time.
Oh, it was in work. Yeah. Okay.
The police put that together for
Julie. Lieutenant Downing did put that together.
Five over the past 20 years, was it?
Four that I'm aware of.
Four?
Yeah.
Browning?
Yeah.
Over 20 years?
Yeah. Lieutenant Downing put that. He put that together. Did you not get a copy?
No.
I might have read it.
Was it in last week's paper?
No, whatever the last committee report.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
And I think three of those were intentional, correct? And
just yeah, there was two suicides.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Any other questions? George, this was your
backyard. I'm sorry. That's okay. Get down here soon enough.
That's okay.
A few things. I guess I'm very disappointed in the commission. The commissioners are not here, and you're unfortunately in the position of representing them. I'm very disappointed that they are just saying, no swim at your own risk, no way, no how, when there's been a lot of different alternative suggestions made. And you know, I get deluged with email about people who want to be able to swim in the lake at other than the plus the people who are complaining about people who are illegally swimming in the lake. And so it seems to me it's a problem that's going to go away. It's not going to go away. And I don't know how the commission thinks they're dealing with it that way.
Brianna, Carol?
Well, I think I believe you. Were you at the commission?
I walked in. I was there for the other
puppy dog.
Yeah. We were having a full board meeting that night. I just had to walk in and out very quickly to see where you were on the agenda. That's all. I didn't walk in while it was being discussed, but I couldn't say.
I think if you notice in the minutes that they're very concerned on the safety and the risk that allowing people to swim at their own risk. And I think they're so adamant about it that they do not want to change the status quo.
I'll recognize myself even though it's not my birthday. I would agree, George, in that if we've had five drownings, which is the most serious accident or whatever, in 20 years, it doesn't sound like it's a huge thing. And I think my recollection is that the law department said that it wasn't an issue as long as we didn't charge. If
liability.
Yeah, right.
It's
right.
Close to safety. Yeah.
Right. And, I think just shutting down all conversation on it is not appropriate, personally. And if you look at the item on page 2 of the minutes of this from Parks and Rec, we have the off-leash dogs, and there's just some, it's like nothing can change. We went through a whole thing several years ago around a skate park, and actually I was talking to a little boy at the 4th of July celebration. He had his helmet and his skateboard, and there's no place really to go. And you know where they're going? They're going in the parking garage in Ward 3 in West Newton. The owner has opened up. So there are things that, there are things that we're not doing to kind of think outside the box. And it's a different world, and especially in a world where people are staying around more now, and people don't have the money to do some of the things. So I think it's sad. I'm not quite sure what we can do. Have to think on that, but it is disappointing. So.
Can I ask a question? One of the questions that I thought was an interesting idea, and maybe this is an impossible thing, but we have your lifeguards are certified in a certain aquatic ability, right? And I remember back in the dawn of time when I went to camp, you actually went through Red Cross instruction. I don't know if they still do that sort of thing.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
And I guess the question I would ask is if the commission might consider some process whereby a swimmer could be certified as being able to qualify to swim at their own risk. I mean, now, whether that puts a liability issue in front of us, I don't know. But there are some people who are quite expert and who at least I would feel differently perhaps about somebody like that than I would if it just someone who came along and said, well, like the man who was asked if he could play the violin. He said, I don't know. I never tried. Can I swim Crystal Lake? I'll find out. I'd rather have somebody who has the ability, if that is a way of drawing a line around it. I don't know if that's possible, whether anybody's ever done that, but at least that question was raised, and I thought it was kind of an intriguing one. And I don't know whether that's a way of getting past their concern, because I think your concern is a safety issue, obviously. Uh-huh. You don't want anybody to get hurt. But if there are people who, by some ability to demonstrate to you that they have the capacity for distance swimming and are qualified to do that, I would feel less worried about the safety question on that basis. Now, maybe that's an impossible
impractical
way to do that, but it's almost like the equivalent of an operator's license on the road. Yeah. You just say, if you're going to go to swimming in open water, we would like you to, without any guard or supervision, we'd like you to be able to demonstrate that you can take care of yourself. Or you agree to swim with a buddy or something like that. I don't know what the protocol would be, but I just raised a question about some way of getting at this for people. Because my guess is that the desire, George, your emails may be coming more from people who really like to swim and are quite good at it, and not just the casual.
Not the party goers who just want to come there with a keg of beer. That's not who we are.
No, people who are swimmers.
People who swim for therapeutics, who swim, you know, well, basically.
Yes, Alderman has the hand.
I only hear from the folks who are sneaking in legally to do it.
They
don't email me because I have a little warning at the bottom of my emails that says this may be considered a public record, so generally people don't do that. My question actually was more directed towards the safety of the lake itself. Did the Parks and Rec Commission talk at all about what expanding the hours past Labor Day expanding past Labor Day, but having so much your own risk, what impact that would have on the quality of the water or
yeah, we did. And actually, we had it last time we were here. We talked about it too. That just the ecology of the lake itself would change drastically. The parking situation in the neighborhood would change. It was one of the major issues for the neighborhood. Of course, it's always a neighborhood issue. But there's just some issues that, you know, I would have to yield to a better expert than myself on what, you know, that would happen. As I explained, this would be something that would be published in a Boston paper. It would go under the category of swimming, you know, here's where you can swim from here to there.
Why would it be in the Boston paper?
It's just one of those things that they publish. You know, this is where you can swim, and so it's just not going to be a local issue. It's
kind of like Walden.
Yeah. Because boating is the same. I mean, boating is, you know, statewide, and yet we get very few boaters, and the ones we get are very good boaters, and very good at it. And actually, we have one gentleman who's volunteered to, you know, teach some kids proper rowing techniques, which is kind of nice on a Sunday morning. So that's, you know, a statewide thing. So once it goes, you know, into the bigger picture, it brings a whole different scope onto things.
So sort of like, I mean, just bringing it back to Walden Pond again, I remember a few years back when they closed the trails on Walden Pond because there were so many people visiting that they basically destroyed the roots of a lot of the indigenous plants that were there. And they had And that would be my concern with it, is whether the lake can handle it. I'm less concerned, frankly, about this. Not that I'm unconcerned about the safety of people who use it, but because there's already people who use it illegally. But I would be concerned about that, and I didn't realize that that's something that gets published in the paper.
Well, I mean, they do this very big list, and it's one of these things that, And see, I can personally tell you that there's two different types of swimmers. There is the athlete who swims the circumference of the lake. And then, even on a hot day, when the last one was...
We had a hot day? July 4th.
You know, the beach is open, the beach is wide open, and there's 150 people swimming in Browns Cove that don't want to come over.
150 people swimming in Browns Cove?
Absolutely.
Last Monday?
No. I'm just saying, that might be a little high, that number. But there'd be a lot of people swimming in Croton's Cove that just do not choose to come over to the bathing area. They much prefer to stay right where they are.
Or not pay him on
other things.
Yes, Alderman Freeman and Mansfield.
And a couple of questions. You mentioned boating. I actually wasn't aware that boating was legal on Crystal Lake.
Sure.
Is there a season for boating, or may one put a boat on the lake at any time?
Anytime.
It doesn't have a motor.
Right. So you can have an electric motor.
So, I mean, I also think about, for example, the Charles River, and I don't imagine too many people choose to swim in the Charles, but, you know, there are plenty of people who bring their own kayaks and canoes and launch from wherever, or get a community boat or scull. I, unfortunately, have had friends who've had horrible accidents or seizures while they were rowing and flipped into the water and would have drowned, but for somebody having been both close by and witnessing it. Those things happen, yet those are all activities that are at your risk activities. I just don't know if there's any lessons to be drawn from that that relate to this. It seems, you know, we allow a variety of at your own risk activities. Why is swimming inherently different? Is it just because swimming is considered more dangerous?
question.
Well, I think swimming is more universal.
Is it more popular?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't have to have any equipment.
And therefore attracts more people. And it all varies more. Whereas boating is more higher. And it also is a structure that people can, if in doubt or in trouble, can always hang on to. Once you're out there on your own, you're on your own.
Could we require life vests?
Yes.
A life vest.
Life vest.
You require them to swim on your own, but you have to have a life vest.
Swimming?
I said if you were having swimming on your own, could you require a life vest? That's what I just was thinking. That's a
reason I raise my hand. I think first of all, Ted, I don't think you believe that the type of swimming at your own risk that I particularly, and I think other doctors at the site I'm talking about, is not the 150 people who show up at Cronin's Cove on a hot day. Those people should not be swimming there. They should be going through our open facility at the bathhouse and paying the fee to do so. And that's part of the problem. They are swimming there. They're being allowed to swim there de facto. And that's part of the whole problem here. But the issue is when the facility is closed, post-season and pre-season, there are people who want to swim and who will swim. And who do swim, actually. Some from private property around the lake. Any owner or guest of an owner of property that abuts the lake can swim. We're not worrying about their safety. We're not worrying about the impact they have on the ecology of the lake, I guess. But I think we'll be able to allow people who are qualified, and while, you know, I've heard that intention too, and I agree that that's something you should look into, how you could do that. I'm not sure requiring a life vest is the best idea, but maybe there's another safety issue. It just seems like that we have a resource. We have a very valuable resource. We need to make that resource as useful as possible without detracting from it. And that's not happening now in many ways. It's being detracted from when 150 people show up in the wrong place, and it's also being detracted from when it's sitting there on a beautiful September day or May day, and no one can use it.
Alderman Merrill, then Brandel.
Yes, I look at this purely as a matter of public concern and public interest. I think for my own part, I would not want to support the swim at your own risk policy. That the liability is there, regardless of whatever position we take. The law department is concerned. And if I were an alderman living in that area, might have residents call me and say, why not? But the fact is, they may be overlooking the fact that the city does have a liability. And I think the policy is that you have to have a certified American Red Cross lifeguard. Am I correct on that?
For supervising.
For supervising. And unless there is some way that the Recreation Department can sort of plan ahead for another year and start advertising early on and hopefully find an individual that meets those qualifications. I think unfortunately we're just going to have to sit back and make us some phone calls. I've never had a phone call from anyone out of Crystal Lake, although I used to swim there. But the fact is, I don't want to see the city be put into the position. Yeah, swimming at your own risk. Somebody goes in there and drowns, and I wouldn't want to read the tab the next week. You know, because I think there's always that question. Since when does a swim at your own risk become a legal okay in the path of the sea?
I think, just to respond, but in our packet, the last one we had this discussion, I think the law department said as long as we were not charging, something like that.
I was going to ask, do we have anything in writing for the law department?
Yeah. I believe we do. I think, but it's not, I think if you went back and looked at the report from the last time, in my recollection is if we charged people, so then we're, you know, permitting them or something. Something to that effect. Otherwise, we would not be liable. Something to that effect. That's my recollection, but we can get clarification. If you could find that for the next report, that would be great. Alderman Brandel?
One of the things that Alderman Mansfield's point brought this up in my mind was that whatever change is, because what's going to happen here is, you mentioned the point about the neighbors can swim there now. Well, we know the impact now. If we can go out there and we can see it, there is no impact. There's no adverse effect of the current policy. We're talking about changing it, expanding it, what have you. And I expressed in the last meeting my concern about any change to this particular body of water. So I'm not a biologist or really understand lakes to the extent that I can say this with authority, but I walk by this lake a lot, and my view of it is it's a fragile lake. I really don't see this. It doesn't have waves, currents, and those sort of things that or stream feeding in that causes the water to be refreshed and nourished. It's a pretty still body of water unless it's a very windy day, and that causes algae and other things to grow. And so one of the things I'd really like to know about this lake is if you were going to change anything about it, what would the impact be? And I think that would be, you know, the responsibility we would have to take here before we would change the policy. Because I think that if you were going to say we were going to change the swimming policy to swim at your own risk in some way, and the intention would be that these very responsible, therapeutic, long-distance swimmers were going to go in the lake, the byproduct's going to be you're getting a lot of not strong, not responsible, not thinking clearly swimmers entering the lake thinking swim at your own risk means come swim anytime you want, and, you know, the city is no longer responsible, which it isn't. But the impact isn't going to be the same as the intent. So whatever change is going to happen, I think we need to know what would a lot more activity in different parts of the lake, how would that affect the marine life, how would that affect the biology, how would that affect the plant life in there? Because if you walk around that lake, and I know you do, George, and you look around and you see those little holes there where the fish have, you know, pushed out, it doesn't take much to change the bottom of that lake, at least as far as the eye can see. And I think you would also agree with me that when you go by there, and there's sometimes up to 20 people who are in that cove, it doesn't make the lake look pleasant or nice. And it's not something that you really like to see there necessarily. So whatever we look at possibly doing here, I would like to know if there is some way we could find out without turning this into the world's greatest study, what impacts it would have on the marine life there, because I just don't think that lake is set up to take a huge amount of change.
Okay. All in favor?
Well, I understand the concern about the marine ecology, although I'm a little bit like George, I'm not sure that swimming is the problem with the marine ecology. I don't think the fact people are going into it, there may be times when the lake is not a desirable place to swim. That may be a different place. But I don't think the process of swimming or number of people swimming in it makes a whole lot of difference, especially the kind of recreational swimmer who goes a long distance. You know, I don't know what the policy is in Walden Pond, but I do know that my wife and daughters swam at Walden Pond regularly in the early morning for a couple of years, even to the point where my daughter did a collage about it. I don't know if that was, nobody apparently discouraged them, but I'm just conscious that that sort of thing goes on in other places. So I guess the piece of the puzzle that I still don't quite understand is there are places that this goes on, and why we are somehow different from them. If there's a rational reason for making distinction, I'd be glad to know that. But if this is a situation where the law department has said, if you do post it and say, you know, and make it clear about it, that this is you swim at your own risk means there's no liability for the city, that you're responsible for your own safety, not just so that people are led to understand what they're taking on, then I guess I'm still puzzled as to what the concern is. Now, there's a legitimate concern that Alderman Merrill raises, which is, if the city gives that policy, even if it's not liable, and somebody gets hurt, it may not be a liability question, but it certainly will be a concern that everybody comes back and talks about, you know, and that's legitimate. I mean, the point is well taken. But I guess the question is the trade-off we all take anytime we provide access to a public resource. If someone goes and plays sports on a public field and they get hurt, we don't stop using the public field. We try and minimize the risk of harm to people when they play as much as we can, but we don't say no, that because somebody could get hurt playing on the field when there's no coach there or whatever, we're not going to open the field up. So I guess what I'm trying to do is understand the policy, and then ultimately this is still under the statutes, the Recreation Commission has the call here. We don't. But it seems to me the thrust of the conversation in the committee is to ask the commission to think again about this along the lines that we've been discussing. So that's, I'm not sure I'm advancing the cause very much, but I'm trying to understand how to deal with this problem, because I do respect the concerns of people who look at this resource and say, if you can't staff it all the time, and there are people that are willing to do that, swimming at their own risk, at least in the off season. I mean, if there's I might make a distinction between the on season and the off season part, because you do have supervised swimming. And one of the things I've just, by the way, Carol, in swimming the other day, the question is there any pattern to the distance swimming around the rim? You know, there's sort of crisscross when people are out there, and whether you can guide people, but that's a whole other story.
We
that's
tried.
Just a traffic management
we
problem.
Certainly tried.
Okay.
That's a traffic council problem.
Alderman Hesmahan.
I just want to just build on what Bill said, what I think is absolutely right. I think it's a finite resource. And it's not that I don't care about people's safety, but that's if it is at their own risk, that doesn't stop them from suing, but I think it probably stops them from holding the city liable. But that's not my real concern. My real concern is we do have a known impact now. We do have, as Bill pointed out, the neighbors and their guests can swim there, and may or may not be having an impact on the lake. I suspect they are, but they have one thing, access to one thing, not to be too indelicate about it, but a bathroom. And when people have no bathroom that's open, and they're going in the lake, and God forbid, bring a keg of beer with them, I think you can sort of do the math on that. I really am not very comfortable with inviting the whole world in to come swim at their own risk, and use it not to be too indelicate, but like a public toilet. And I really think that before that we make a change like that, not that it's our decision, but before Parks and Rec Commission makes a change like that, that that's a legitimate thing to be concerned about, is what the impact's going to be of opening it up. It's not just going to be your long-distance swimmers. Bill's exactly right. It's going to be everybody in between. And, you know, we're not going to be able to guarantee that that's not going to have an impact on the lake. So I would go slow.
Would you indulge me? I'll go before you.
Yeah, you're
right. Okay.
You were there first.
Well, I'm excited. I guess I think, and I'm as guilty of this as I would say many of us around this table, where we estimate that things are going to be horrible. You know, whether it be if we don't put up that stop sign, or if we don't put it this or that, you know, the world is going to come in. You know, if that development happens, all hell is going to break loose. And I don't think that all hell is going to break loose and we're going to have swarms of people coming from wherever to swim here. I really don't think that's going to happen. And with many things that we do in the city, we do pilots, whether it be a stop sign or a bump out or this, that, or the other thing. Trash collection, very good. So that, you know, we learn from experience. I think this would be a perfect opportunity. I don't know that we're advocating, to both Alderman Brandel's and Hesmahan's point about the delicacy of
the water, the body of water, and the environment. I, too, you know, don't want to see that destroyed. So I don't, at least I would not advocate, you know, 24/7, 12 months a year. I think you can, and there are people who know better from a biological, environmental, you know, when are some more delicate times when bodies of water renew and however it is. So you could say, all right, it's, you know, you're going to have monitored or managed swimming from whatever, June to end of August, hopefully middle of September if this thing works. And then unsupervised swimming for, you know, between these months or dates or whatever, and then no swimming during other times. So I think that I would like to see, again, thinking a little bit beyond kind of the way we've always done things, and I think we need to do that, is what could we do and how could we pilot something? And I don't know that we'd get it done this year. Maybe we would. I know it's just, it's, you know, we're now in almost, well, not almost, but yeah, almost middle of July, and not sure we could get that, but maybe we could, but definitely for the next season. So rather than just, you know, saying not a nothing, you know, what are some options? You know, we can look into a couple of things that were stated around this table and do a pilot. Try one season. See what happens. You know, if throngs come from all environs and that's a problem, well, we've learned and we know what we do. It may be the 20 people that are going to come, you know. I'm not personally going to go be swimming there in, you know, late September, early October. That's not going to happen. I don't swim there anyway, but that's...
As a legal, I'd like to
Can I just put you on the list, Alderman Merrill? Alderman Friedman?
I'd like to know what the policy is.
Alderman Merrill, I'm just going to put you on the list, okay? And you're after Alderman Friedman. Thank you.
I think the concerns have been aired. I think sort of the three concerns we have are liability, which I'm not terribly worried about, safety, which I'm a little worried about, and ecology, which probably worries me more than either of those things, because I think Crystal Lake is somewhat delicate. And to me, this may or may not be an ecological problem. It's really just an unknown. I just don't know. I can actually imagine, by the way, that having a series of, you know, a big number of long-distance swimmers might actually be beneficial in terms of stirring the water and oxygenating the water. I don't know. But it's an unknown, and, you know, odds are it's going to be more detrimental than it is beneficial. The thing that I want to balance that against, though, is what's the net benefit to the community? And, you know, George is describing from his constituents, and I think experience says that people come out to the lake and want to use the lake, legally or not. I have to be honest, I haven't heard a peep from any constituent to me directly, either pro or con on this, so... You know, I don't know. Maybe it's a relatively small number. But to me, if there's a fairly large number of Newtonites who want to use this, I don't consider that a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. I think that's the reason why we would want to open it up. If it turns out that we've got a large number of non-Newtonites who really want to use it and a small number of Newtonites, that is less enthusing to me. But the real balance in my mind is, as stated by Bill and Ted, is the benefit going to exceed the potential risk on the environmental issues here? And I think it's sort of a big fat, I don't know. So I am sort of interested in moving this forward, but I'm not eager to do that quickly. And I would like to learn a little bit more. Either, I don't know whether our own Conservation Commission might have some insight into this, or whether there is... stuff from the state or other municipalities that have looked at similar issues or other lessons that can be drawn that might further enhance that. And also, I don't know if it's probably asking too much. Ideally, we would have some information as to who would want to use the lake and what volumes are, but I don't know that that's possible. So I'm sort of open to an idea like a pilot, but I think I want to know, I'd like to try to gather a few more facts.
Alderman Merrill.
Yes,
thank you.
I'd be interested to know what policy the town has that controls Walden Pond. Now, is that Concord Mass?
Yes.
State property. It's also state off the Mass Turnpike out in Constituent. You know, and I don't know who controls that.
DCR.
Yeah, DCR.
But here again, looking ahead to the future, may not be able to get the answer that we're looking for this year. But perhaps planning ahead in the future and find out what these other communities are doing.
Karen, if you can look, as you, we have Wellesley, that you brought that the last time. So if you could find that. Yes, Alderman Baker?
Well, I have a recommendation for the committee just to move the process along. I think that it was helpful to have a letter from the chairman last time. What I would suggest is a supplemental letter indicating, if it is the sense of the committee, and I don't know if the full committee would agree with this, that we request the commission to look at this issue again in the context of a pilot effort, not for this year, but for next season, which would, before the pilot is undertaken, that there be some examination of the potential ecological impact. Because I think that, and I think Alderman Friedman summarized it quite well, that it's not so much a liability issue, there's some safety issue, but there's a question of ecological impact. But what could be a pilot effort where you could open it for a limited period of time and say, okay, let's see what happens here. What kind of people show up? How is it going on? Have a defined area where it could be done, that you could swim at your own risk, for example, from maybe the cove down at the area near the dock as opposed to the other end. So that there's some limits around it. I don't know, George, whether you would favor that or not. You know the area better than
I do. Personally, I would not favor swimming at Clemens Cove at all because...
Well, whatever,
Well, I don't know. You pick. I'm just suggesting...
That's the greatest impact on houses and there's no parking.
Okay, so. I'm sorry. Well, you...
Or wherever.
Whatever. I guess I'm trying to figure out a limited impact.
A limited impact would be at the city facility where there is a parking lot. And now that we have ownership of much more property there, the impact...
That's fine. I would just, I would pick a place where the impacts are going to be more modest. And but the point here is to ask that the commission consider a pilot effort at a swim at your own risk with some study in advance about the experience in other communities. We are lucky this summer to have an intern in the clerk's office who has some capacity to assist us, I think, in some research, right? Mm-hmm. And we might want to take advantage of that because I know you all are stretched and you don't have the time to do this.
But
maybe if we could ask if Karen could enlist her. And then see if the commission would entertain that. But I think, is that...
Mm-hmm.
That's my recommendation to the committee. I don't know how the members of the committee...
Maybe we should look into artificial water lakes.
Never put mind. A mirror?
No, never mind.
Artificial ice.
If it's, I meant more like...
Any thoughts from members of the committee on that? Having another letter coming from, from myself on behalf of the committee, asking, putting some of those thoughts forward? Yes, Alderman Friedman?
That sounds reasonable to me. I would support putting forward.
Okay. Alderman Bramble?
I think a couple of issues that I'm not sure how you would word this. I have no problem with sending a letter and asking them to reconsider this. And I think the pilot idea would be interesting if done correctly. But number one is, when you talk about the ecological impact, I think we have to be, how would you measure that? Because you can't look at the lake in Kachituate or the Walden Pond and say these are similar to Crystal Lake. They're not. They're very different. So you have to find a similar body of water to Crystal Lake, and I don't know exactly what that is that would be out there or how they would measure it and say this is what the impact would be and this is how we would arrive at that. The second would be if you're going to do a test, who's going to monitor it? In other words, who's going to measure the number of people who show up? Who's going to figure out...
Well, that would be part of the whole plan. I mean, that's why we're not saying to do it now. It gives us a whole year.
Okay, no, I'm just saying, if you're going to do a pilot, I think that you have to stipulate that there will be some measurement aspect to it. Well, that will be performed in such and such manner. So.
Yeah. Yes, Alderman Mansfield?
As one of the doctors, I support that initiative as well. But I do think it's important to get as much... comparative information as we can, whether it be from Walden Pond or Kachituate is really a much, much bigger body of water and allows motorboating and so forth. It's probably not a very good comparison. Walden is a smaller body of water but has no development around it. Houghton's Pond in the Blue Hills is another one, which I know because I grew up in that area. I know that that stays, you know, you can swim there all year round, but in the summertime, there are lifeguards in Upay Park, and that's the difference. There's a lake in Braintree, I believe, called Sunset Lake, which to me is very similar to Crystal, and it's surrounded by development, houses, and yet has a town beach on it. There's another one, I don't know its name, in Lexington. There's hundreds of freshwater lakes in this state. I mean, we ought to be able to get some information of, you know, some comparable in size and type of development around them and so forth and see what they do.
There's one other dimension of this, if you indulge me, is it that I think the point you're making, George, is important. There is right now swimming at somebody's risk, not the city's risk, but there's swimming going on illegally. And I think that when we're talking about the impact here, I think it's important to keep in mind that we're talking about the question of the margin of error of difference by having some place and policy that is going to make lawful what is going on unlawful. I mean, it's a little bit like the dog parks in some sense. And that,
I don't know that that's necessarily going to help your argument much.
And then we have to have 14 lakes in the city. We get it all at once.
Truthfully.
Okay. Well, I'm getting some sense that, you know, we should proceed with another letter. So is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor? Alderman Merrill, Friedman, Johnson, Baker, all opposed.
Sangiolo.
No, I'm in favor. Oh, I'm sorry. Sangiolo in favor. I'm sorry. It came up. All opposed. Abstentions. That's my hand and breath. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
So Karen will work on that.
So that was a vote to get the letter?
Yeah.
This is the staff. This is where they're going to school.
Oh.
The big, tall redhead?
Yeah.
That's Brendan.
Oh, good.
We're hoping he's in your class.
Okay.
I told him that he needs to talk to you.
Karen, who's coming for 29208?
Alderman Brandon.
Oh, I know.
No. From the mayor.
He was communicating with the mayor, and you were bringing...
We won a lawsuit, but we had to...
They
had collaborate
also.
Did either of you get my messages today?
No, I was at home. Except to take my dog up to poop.
That's all I do is to handle this.
I don't have
a message. Okay.
Okay, all right, let me just, okay, Alderman Merle. Docket item 29208, Friends 2, Programs and Services Committee, requesting that its honor the mayor develop a written policy of standards and processes that could be uniformly followed by community groups for use of the branch library buildings.
Okay, there is some interesting information that I think the committee should be informed of regarding library policy, and it relates to the existence of commercial entities that could possibly subsidize the branch operations, which is one of the aspects of the model that the Wildwood branch was pursuing, and I don't know if any of the other ones were interested in doing that. I think they were in Newton Corner, but I'm not absolutely correct. Either way. What they found was there's a number of different aspects that have to be taken into account when you try to put a commercial enterprise onto a public building. And it relates to the zoning, which is it's zoned for public use, not private use. Another one is if you did allow commercial activity to take place there, how you would charge rent for that proprietor would be very different than the current license agreement that is being offered to the branch libraries, and essentially would have to go to market rate. It would change the taxing on the buildings and the use of the buildings because it's now going to be taxed at a commercial rate rather than the rate that is now, which is non-existent. So there's some other aspects there as well, but the solicitor's office was not prepared to present this tonight. It's something that they just arrived at recently because of the investigation into this. And I talked to Sandy Cooler tonight, and he said it would be his preference. And quite frankly, the only way he could do it is if he came to the next meeting and when they were able to huddle with the solicitor's office and get this information and present it to us. So I would recommend that we hold this item tonight and take it up then.
I don't know. I think we ought to discuss.
It's my birthday.
Write a letter.
I was sitting here.
Write a letter.
told you about this.
Watch the candles burn down, right?
Okay. So is there a motion? Did I hear a motion to hold?
I move that we hold.
Okay. Any discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor?
Hold me.
Alderman Merrill, Hessman, Hand, Friedman, Johnson, Baker, and Brandel, and Angela Lovell. Okay, great. Last item, 14609, Alderman Sangiola requesting a discussion to explore the possibility of the sale of City of Newton-related merchandise to benefit various city departments.
I just got this from Karen, so I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I just got it from Sandy.
So it wasn't really attached, so I didn't know. So I guess you can address some of the issues, one of which we need to, none of our departments are currently selling anything, although I know that Parks and Rec, we should have asked Carol and Fran, they just didn't have keychains, they would give out, but maybe they just gave those out for free. He talks about some items that departments had several years ago, but I guess they didn't do a very good job selling them, or they didn't sell them, so they started giving them out for free. Anyway, in order to make this happen, we have to create a revolving fund, and the mayor would have to do that for us. And I think the mayor is predisposed to do that if I can show him that there would be money to go into this account. The other item that we have to take a look at is who would be in charge of the store and where that location would be to stockpile some items.
Could I do that? Because when I was a child, I was the general storekeeper on Rick's Trailer Show.
But I think if you decide to...
Boomtown!
We'd have to ask President Baker to appoint you.
Okay.
I need to... I kind of have to learn more about this. Do you have... Is it on YouTube?
It will be.
I mean, after all, this is an election.
Anyway, the blog. So you guys are all familiar with the mug, right? So we had the mug, and that was the Board of Aldermen. But, you know, things like tchotchkes and little, I don't know, whatever you want to give out to when you go to other communities and you want, you know, like give your relatives, you know, shirts and stuff, you know, Pride of Newton. I bought this at Keys Drugstore for $10. So, why is Keys Drugstore making money off of Newton and Newton not making money off of Newton? And why isn't Newton providing Newton stuff? Sandy suggests in the memo that...
I think Bill has
every recognized.
I forgot to tell
they
you.
They have customers?
He doesn't have to be perfect, so he can just interrupt.
Oh, he can. There goes my buying in the drink tonight.
Anyway, just cost me one.
Sandy suggests that the two high schools have stores, but the problem is not everyone can get into the high school building. So it's not open.
Especially we'll sell them out of the new bathroom.
Especially with cameras, and especially if you work with anyway, I talked with Mary Morgan, and Mary Morgan is really the genesis of this idea. Since she's been here, she's been begging Mayor Cohen to let her have a little shop in her office so that she can sell the stuff.
Awesome.
So I think this would be a nice tribute to Mary if we were able to come up with something. She doesn't care who gets
a snow globe with the city hall in it.
And whatever you want.
Thinking.
Or the mayor with the head that goes...
Over synthetic turf. You have like seagulls bouncing up and down. Like they try to flood light and they can't because it's not grass.
Oh boy, you just went from zero to minus one.
Sandy Foley suggests.
Keith has a dessert for you.
Yeah.
Keith buying you three.
Sandy Foley suggested a dartboard with all of the aldermen faces around.
Funny guy.
He said that he would buy
with the mayor in the middle.
He didn't suggest the mayor.
That would be more fitting. The mayor would be on the other side, but Sandy would be in the middle. That would be.
So anyway, that's the concept behind it.
Well, if Mary wants it, we should move heaven and earth.
I think it would be great.
I like this.
She's very. She's. I don't think she saw this though. This memo from Sandy. My conversation with her today. I don't think she'd realize that she's realized that some of these things.
Well, I guess the question I have, which is, what does it cost to make this? Because you got to put some investment in to have some goods to sell.
Right. So I'm willing to kick in $200, and I think there's some other aldermen that I've talked with who are willing to kick in some money to just have something.
Sorry to get
well,
them in the
meeting. In the spirit of Alderman Johnson's pilot effort, I mean, Let me suggest that one of the things that... That you...
Fill the snow globes with crystal lake water.
Yeah.
Have you started partying already?
All sorts of ideas.
You have to send it to
just around this Robert. Very thing.
This is much more fun.
We think it's a great idea.
I think, Amy, one of the things that might be interesting, when is the next thing, like Oktoberfest or whatever we have?
Oktoberfest.
Harvest.
You were right. I understood what you were talking about.
Oktoberfest is a drinking party.
Well, that's, I mean, Bill is in charge of that tonight.
Anyway. Flashback to Michigan.
But anyway, if you were to able to get a few things to try on a trial basis at that, where you do have a kind of a customers, as Bill says, people coming, and Newton Pride might be interested in this, because that's basically what it's all about. If you could get the Newton Pride people and Linda Plout and try, because I think she would be actually pretty good about that. And you know, they had the, there are some sort of, Peter Kastner does his prints, which are really maps of Newton.
Yeah, but that's his personal.
That's his own business, but I understand. But at least it does get some trade out of that.
Well, who sold the historic house?
I don't know.
History Museum.
And the History Museum has its own kind of Newton paraphernalia, but it's not like this.
Okay.
This isn't historic. This is, you know.
Good thing.
It's historic in that you've done it, you know, right?
I have a Tina shirt I could donate.
Yeah, that's historic.
I pay for that.
But I guess my recommendation would be to try and see if you could try something out at the fair and have enough time to get it ready and try a few things out and see what the reaction is.
But see, the problem is then you have to advertise that you're going to be at the fair and then...
No.
See
what people... Just get Linda to give you a little space and see if we can get Newton Pride to do something.
Well, so my counter suggestion to your pilot idea is let Mary have some stuff.
Yeah.
And then Mary can fill it out of her office.
Well, that's,
if it doesn't work...
But that's the mayor's office. I don't... I think we ought to give the mayor the ability to say... Yes or no?
Yeah, if he doesn't like it, David Olson seems interesting.
No, that's what I was thinking. The clerk's office.
He won't be really
like
it. He really enjoyed going through, you know, looking for the mugs and picking up products and doing that stuff. So he
probably did a lot of that at the History Museum and stuff. So. I would be willing to hand over my authority and ability of being general storekeeper to Karen.
But Karen doesn't seem thrilled by that. Sandy Fuller suggested some of the volunteers at the information desk, but Mary thought that was a bad idea. She thought it should be one designated city person so that they'd know where, you know, the...
I would agree with that, you know, because you have the store, you have the stock, right? Probably need a display case and whatever. Yes, all in agreement. Any more snow globes?
Turf clubs.
Turf clubs. Turf clubs.
Turf clubs. Black things.
Sexual assault.
I know at least one sale we'll have on the north side.
You can go over to Square 5 and sell that.
I love Mary. I love this city. I might even buy one of those t-shirts. I have my Newton East Little League shirt. I have my Newton Youth Soccer shirt. I have my Memorial Spalding shirt. I have my Oak Hill sweatpants. Okay. You know, I've been doing my Newton
Pride
thing.
I
don't have the
AFCAM.
Senior Center.
AFCAM?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll look into that. But with all respect, I think this is a really bad idea. Retail is like the toughest business in the world. Retail stores have thin margins. They go out of business all the time. None of us knows anything about retail. We're trying to sell stuff that even if we hit it big with some clever idea, we're not going to own copyrights on it. We're not going to be able to protect it and protect whatever store this is from knocking off whatever clever idea we have. I mean, it's sort of a nice idea. I like sort of the Newton Pride angle on it. I would love to encourage Newton Pride to go and start a volunteer operation along these lines, but I cannot support sort of running down this road. I'm sorry to say, I just can't.
Have you considered a website?
I haven't considered a website only because this was Mary's idea. So, and I wanted Mary to finally have her day.
Well, Mary, if she put it on the website, she could actually sell it to her relatives in Australia.
That's true. She could. Again, the idea is not to become a business and not to make it necessarily successful, but to have it available. She says lots of people come in City Hall looking. Is there anything that you have, like a keychain?
Yeah, I remember when we, being Howard and I, had visitors from Russia, and it was the mayor of whatever. Can't remember. I couldn't pronounce it if I could remember it.
Omsk.
Huh?
Never mind.
No, in the over. Near the China, that end. And I had nothing to give him.
Minsk.
I had nothing to give him. I mean, for that point. There was just, I went, and even looking, there weren't any real books or any, you know, so we don't. Because there are the Newton books that, you know, if you go to the mobile book fair and for all the various communities, and there's a nice one on Newton. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm torn. I don't know that it takes anything from us other than a revolving account, but if we use something from Newton Prime, can we use something that already exists and dovetail it with that?
I don't know. I see your angle about Newton Prime and Newton Prime doing it, but...
Again, I guess I agree with John on the side of starting small and seeing how it works with some people who might be able to volunteer or not. I'm uneasy about asking staff and city people be committed to do something. There's a difference between that and having some things from in the mayor's office, you know. I mean, for a while they used to give out Fig Newtons until the Fig Newton Company gave out giving us Fig Newtons.
Right.
You know,
they actually gave us a gross ton and they got stale is what happened.
And then the mayor.
Well, I did like
that. Yeah. That would explain a lot.
Don't go there.
But I would explore it with Linda and just see what can be tried out with Newton Prime people first. See where it goes. I think Mary would be happy with it.
Alderman Brander?
Yeah, maybe you might want to enlist the high schools to see as part of their business courses or whatever when they do these projects to see if somebody wants to take this up as a pilot and see if they can make a go with it. And if they can, then maybe you can find a home for it then.
I guess where I'm losing your confidence and John's concern is that this is not for a business. It's to have items. Somebody wants it, they've got it. They can buy it.
Well, you can go to Keys, you can go to CVS. I mean,
they don't have it at CVS. They only have it at Keys, as far as I know. But the other thing I can do, I'm happy to do it because I'm willing to kick in the first $200. Order the items, give them to Mary. Mary can sell whatever she wants, and that could be your pilot. We don't need a revolving account because we could just do it.
No, then just do it.
But the idea is the money would go in a revolving account, and then she can go or somebody else could go and order other items that might be in demand. If there's nothing in demand, you don't have anything to worry about.
I have a motion. I move that we adopt Alderman Santoro's idea that she kick in $200 and buys the items, give them to Mary, and we call it a pilot program. And see how it works.
If the mayor consents.
Yeah. If the mayor consents. If he doesn't consent, then Mary and the mayor can take that up.
Right. Okay? There's a motion on the table.
So if you agree, nod your head like a bobble.
All those any discussion? All those in favor? That's Alderman Merrill, Heslin, Freeman, Johnson, Baker, Sandoval, and Brandel. Thank you. Thank you.
Sounds like a
Thank
plan.
Thank you, Amy.
Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
What are you saying?
Oh, we're having too much fun.
Yes, we did.
Oh, you did.
Happy birthday.